You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to part three of our series, The Way to Go. Hasn't been a great series so far. Who's enjoyed it? I've enjoyed it very much. The first week we heard Pastor Naomi share at Pentecost Sunday about the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives, how he shows us the way to relationship with God and leads us to clarity in understanding as well. Then last week we heard from Pastor Lee. He shared around understanding what the right way to go is and how we are all called to one holy calling, the commission, but to separate spaces. So today, I want to give you an encouragement, church, that God's voice is not that far away. Now, although sometimes we may not be able to hear it, sometimes it might have been difficult, don't get discouraged. Today is a new day. You know, let's look to the word this morning. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.'" You know, this is our declaration verse for 2019. You know, I want to encourage you that God is speaking to us. You know, and God desires for us to hear him. Now, he wants to be a part of our everyday, giving us direction, you know, empowering us with each step that we take in wisdom, you know, and giving understanding and clarity. You know, and the encouragement this morning for us is that hearing God is for everyone. You know, hearing God isn't just for a select few. You know, it's not those who are holy. You know, it's not just for those who are spiritual. You know, these are lies that the enemy tells us or bad perceptions that we may have picked up along our journey. But be encouraged that God wants to speak to you. You know, and don't be discouraged if it's been difficult before. Today is a new day. Now, God doesn't have favorites. He desires to speak to, direct, and equip each of us for the purpose that he's called us to. Now, I want to encourage you this morning that God's voice is closer than we think. You know, God's voice is right behind us, speaking to us. So we need to ask ourselves, what needs to change so that I can hear God? You know, I want to start by saying we don't need to change who we are. You know, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're a child of God. You know, that doesn't change. That's sure and steadfast. You know, this morning we're not talking about becoming better. We're not talking about becoming more holy so that God can speak to us, because he is speaking to us and he desires for us to hear him. You know, we don't need to change who we are. You know, we have an identity that is steadfast. But we do need to change the way that we listen. So where do we begin? The first thing is that Jesus desires closeness with you. You know, God desires closeness with us. And he desires for us to draw close to him. You know, relationship with God is so important. It's so important in being able to hear God's voice. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what is your motivation from wanting to hear from God? You know, is it a two-way communication that we're having with him? You know, in service of growing our relationship with him, in drawing close with him? Because God is speaking to us, and he desires for us to speak with him as well. You know, to spend moments in communion with him, in his presence. You know, God desires closeness with each of us. His desire is for us to be close to him. You know, when was the last time that you just sat in the presence of God without an agenda? You know, without coming to him with a request, just sitting in his presence, just spending time with the Father. You know, because growing in closeness with God, growing in our relationship with God, that helps us to be able to recognize his voice and helps us learn the way that he speaks to us. You know, the truth is that we understand the way that those who are close to us communicate. You know, body language, tone. You know, there's intricacies to our communication. You know, a personal example for me might be that early in my relationship with Emily, if I went to her and I said, "Is everything okay?" and she said, "I'm fine," then maybe I would have just taken that at face value. Or, you know, she's sitting there grumpy. It's like, what's wrong? And nothing. And clearly, it's not nothing that's wrong. Clearly, something is wrong. But as our relationship has developed, you know, I've had to learn the way that she communicates. I've had to learn the intricacies of that. And that's only come through developing our relationship, through spending time with each other. You know, it's the same when it comes to us and God. You know, the more that we draw close to Him, the more time that we spend with Him in His presence, the more that we learn to understand how He communicates, the easier it becomes for us to hear His voice and understand what He's saying. You know, the more that I press into relationship with God, the closer I draw to Him, the more attuned I am to hearing His voice. And you know, it's when I draw away from God that I begin to feel lost, that I begin to lose His direction and His path for me. You know, when we draw close to Him, we begin to learn more about Him and we learn more about hearing His voice. You know, the other factor is that we only let those who are close to us speak into our lives. You know, if we aren't close to God, if we don't know how to recognize His voice, then we can't trust His voice either. You know, John chapter 10 verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." We learn to trust God as the shepherd. His direction is good. You know, and I would propose that even for a sheep, there's a time spent in being able to trust the shepherd. You know, with God, we need to take that time to learn to trust Him, to go on the journey with Him, stay in relationship with Him, drawing close to Him and pressing into what He has for us. You know, I think sometimes when it comes to God, we relate to Him a little bit like Santa Claus. You know, we come to Him with requests, things that we want. We try to be good, so we stay on the good list and not the naughty list. But our relationship with God is designed to be so much greater than this. You know, ask yourself this question this morning. Do I want God to just answer my requests? Or do I believe that He can give me more than I can ask or dream or imagine? You know, a personal example of this for me is that before myself and Emily moved to Geelong, I had a bit of a plan for my life. You know, I'd finished school, I'd gone to Bible college. It was like, I'm going to be a youth pastor and this is going to be good. You know, I'll get a job at a church and life will be awesome. So, you know, I could have come to God with this request, and the truth is at times I did. It was like, God, open this door for me. But the truth is that He had more for me. You know, and as I learned to trust His voice, as we followed His direction, you know, stepping out, moving to Geelong, I can safely say that where we are right now is better than where I'd ever imagined that I would be. You know, do I want God to just answer my requests, or do I believe that He can give me more than I can ask or dream or imagine? You know, in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, it says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. You know, God has so much for each of us, but that happens gently. You know, it's not something that's forced upon us. It's out of relationship that we find the more. It's out of relationship that He can direct us into everything that He has for us. You know, with our relationship with God, we need to allow space to develop our relationship with God. We need to allow time spent with Him. You know, in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer." You know, even Jesus, the Son of God, He often withdrew from His everyday life to spend time in the presence of the Father, you know, to search the heart of the Father. You know, Jesus is God, But he left this as an example for us in the importance of allowing space for relationship with God. You know, cultivating a relationship that's not linked to a specific pressing circumstance that's going on. It's just coming to God in relationship, not with a need, but just in relationship. You know, a time solely devoted to communion with the Father. You know, what does this look like for you? What does this space look like for you? You know, maybe it's something that you used to be good at and then life got busier. You know, kids came along, you got a promotion at work. You know, you joined a sporting team. You know, this isn't a moment for shame. This isn't a moment to be disheartened, but it's a moment of restoration for us. You know, God's arms are open. All we have to do is turn around and we can walk back into that space. You know, allow space for relationship with the Father. God is calling each of us to draw close to Him, to go further in relationship so that we learn His heart, learn His voice, receive His direction, and live out His perfect purposes for us. You know, He desires to walk with us each step of the way. You know, we need to acknowledge God's goodness toward us. You know, God is a good God. You know, He has our best interests at heart. He's an all-powerful, all-knowing, loving Father. You know, the heart of God is toward His children. You know, God's heart is for you. It's not against you. He has your best interests at heart. You know, even when we don't understand it. You know, with myself and Emily, when we moved to Geelong, we moved so that Emily could go to university, but there wasn't necessarily an employment pathway for either of us. So, you know, we took a step out in the direction that God has for us. And, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that we haven't been without through that entire time. You know, God has provided pathways for us. God's goodness has been evident through every step as we've followed His direction. You know, there hasn't been a time where we've been without employment. Although at times it may not have looked easy or like it was even practical for us to find it, God made a way. You know, God is so good to us. You know, He has our best interests at heart, even when sometimes we don't understand it. You know, if you think of a child, they come to mum and it's half an hour before dinner and they're like, can I have a packet of chips because I'm hungry? Mum, and it's like, this is going to be the best thing ever. I love chips. And then mum's like, no, because it'll spoil your dinner. You know, as a child, we think we know what's best for us, but we don't always know what's best for us. You know, sometimes we think we know the way to go. You know, I've got this, but God's direction is the direction that leads us to truth. It's God's direction that leads us to purpose. You know, there's a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 27. It says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like Him. Having determined our destiny ahead of time, He called us to Himself and transferred His perfect righteousness to everyone He called, and those who possess His perfect righteousness He co-glorified with His Son. Awesome. You know, doesn't that scripture just, it's just so full of God's heart for us. You know, His plan for us. You know, we're uniquely crafted by Him. You know, He knows our hearts, but He is just so full of goodness toward us. You know, we're called by Him. We're made righteous in Him. You know, this is for each of us here today. You know, we can be sure of this. You know, that God has the best in store for us. You know, God desires to be a part of our entire lives. You know, do we only come to God with the big ticket items? You know, the big things that are going on, like should I buy a house? Should I change jobs? Should I have kids? Should I buy a car? Or are we in constant communication with Him through each step that we go in our day-to-day? You know, are we aware of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in our everyday? You know, because God gives us direction. He leads us on the way to go, but He doesn't just leave it there either. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us along the journey, guiding, empowering, and teaching us each step of the way. You know, in the Message version of Isaiah 30 verse 21, it says your teacher will be right there, local and on the job. You know, the Holy Spirit is right there with us each step that we take. You know, we often connect the Holy Spirit with the big things in our lives, you know, the spiritual things. But we are called to live Spirit-led lives each step that we take. You know, in my work day, do I allow the Holy Spirit to empower me when I go into a meeting in wisdom? In the relationships that I have, do I allow the Holy Spirit to empower me in navigating conflict? You know, in walking towards restoration? You know, in my finances, do I listen for the Holy Spirit to impart wisdom in the decision-making, the small and the big? You know, the Holy Spirit desires to empower our every step. You know, being in constant communication with God. So what does constant communication with God look like? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 16, it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." You know, how can we pray continually? Like, we wouldn't get anything done. But it's talking about being continually in communion with God. You know, not leaning upon our own understanding or the way that we think that we should go, but allowing His presence to transcend every area of our lives. You know, this is how we were created to live. You know, empowered by the Holy Spirit, not doing life alone, but doing life in communion with the Father, each step that we take. You know, the way to go might be big, but it also might be little. It might just be a small step out. And we can trust God in the everyday. You know, we can trust His direction with every step that we take. Now, I want to look at a passage from Proverbs chapter 2, because there's some great keys in here about hearing God's voice. So starting from verse 1, it says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands." You know, we need to treasure God speaking to us. You know, it speaks of value. You know, there's value in God speaking to you. There's value in hearing His voice. You know, it's the loving Father giving direction to His children. There's so much value in that. You know, treasure God's commands for us. Verse 2, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." You know, hearing God's voice requires practice. You know, it requires time to be spent. You know, listening requires concentration. You know, you think you're at home and you go to speak to someone and they're watching TV and they're really into it and you talk at them and it's a blank wall. Does that happen to anyone? I'm normally the perpetrator there. But you can't listen if you're not concentrating. If you're concentrating on something else, we can't listen. So we need to concentrate on hearing God's voice. You know, verse 3 says, "Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God." You know, hearing God requires action on our part. You know, listening to God requires us to be active in participation. You know, that verse says that we need to search for understanding. And you know, the way I read that isn't that it's a simple hide-and-seek game with a small child, but it's like trying to find Where's Wally in a book. You know, it requires effort on our part. You know, really searching, well, what God are you saying to me right now, because I long to understand it. you know, from within our hearts, that desire. You know, and the encouragement in that is that in verse 6, it says, "For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." You know, truth belongs to God. Understanding belongs to God. So in order to understand God, he gives us that understanding. You know, we need to acknowledge that God is the source of all knowledge. Verse 7, "He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe." I mean, come on, what a promise is that for us. You know, God promises these things to us if we listen to his voice and we act upon what he's saying. You know, wisdom comes from God, but we choose where our feet step. And when we follow his direction, we walk in his protection and his promises for us. So God is speaking to us. We long to hear his voice and we're empowered to hear from him. But how does he show us the way to go? You know, the first area is that we hear from God in revelation and through the word of God. You know, we can hear the way to go through revelation of his word. Now, we'll read Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 again. It says, "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.'" And now we're going to read from 2 Timothy and see how this same promise applies to God's word. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, from verse 16, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives." You know, in Isaiah, it talks about when we turn to the left or to the right, that God directs us through his word. He shows us where we need to go. You know, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You know, God's voice right behind us through his word. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You know, God's voice is for purpose. Hearing God's voice is for mission. You know, God isn't just playing games with us, but he wants us to walk out everything that he has for us because he has our best at heart. So from that scripture, you know, we let the word of God come alive to us. You know, the word of God is powerful. You know, it's not just words on a page, but it's God speaking to us through his word. You know, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to interpret and apply scripture. You know, they're not just words on a page, but the Holy Spirit brings understanding as we read it. You know, when we approach his word, we need to search for understanding. God, what are you speaking to me? Holy Spirit, empower me now to understand what you're speaking through your word. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." You know, be encouraged this morning that we are all spiritual. You know, at salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, working within us, speaking to us, revealing things to us. You know, and it's only through the Spirit of God that we will understand what God is speaking to us. You know, we can't understand what God is saying if we try to just apply our minds. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to bring understanding, the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, to bring insight. You know, when you approach the Word, do it with this understanding. You know, we cannot understand God without the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." You know, the Word of God can even bring revelation looking inward into our own hearts, to our own desires, to our own thoughts. You know, the Word of God can help us discern and move past our own emotions in being spirit-led in the direction that we're taking. You know, Pastor Phil shared a message a few weeks ago around the war of the mind, and do my thoughts line up with the Word of God? You know, because we can look to the Word of God as a source of truth. You know, where our emotions may cloud our judgment, where our emotions may cause us to look in other directions, we can look to the Word of God as a source of truth. You know, it doesn't change. God's Word doesn't change. You know, when we're unsure of where to go, our emotions may take us one way, but we need to look to the Word of God to find the truth, to find God's perfect direction for our lives. You know, the second way that we can hear God is in wisdom and in wise counsel. You know, you might say this morning that I'm not a really wise person. And the truth is that most of us aren't. Probably not any of us are all that wise. But you do have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, biblical wisdom is something that is given by God. True wisdom is given by God. You know, John 14:26 says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." And James 1 verse 5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone." You know, we can ask God for wisdom, and in that, not relying on our own knowledge, our own natural instinct, but God-given wisdom. Be sure that your faith is in God alone, not in your own knowledge. You know, we can seek God to impart wisdom into us to help in decision-making, but we can also speak wise counsel. Now, who do you allow to speak into your life? Who helps direct the trajectory that you're on? You know, sometimes it can help to get the perspective from somebody else. You know, somebody removed from where you stand, someone who's not tied up in the emotion of the situation. You know, and if you need more evidence, let's look to the Bible. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 21. "Plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success." Proverbs 28, verse 26. "Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe." Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fail, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know, don't make decisions alone. Seek wise counsel. Seek God and seek wise counsel. That God wants us to be empowered and equipped every step that we take. You know, receiving direction through wisdom and through wise counsel. You know, we hear God in the direction that we take. We hear God in every step that we take. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Now, how do we allow God to determine our steps each day in every step that we're taking? You know, in hearing Him, do we only come to Him with the big things, the big questions that we have, or are we fully dependent on God every step of the way? Because God wants to direct our steps, not just the milestone decisions that we're making. You know, living each step with the Holy Spirit as guide, counselor, and teacher. You know, God desires the best for us. His plans and purposes for us are great. And this is in the little things too, not just the big things. You know, we can trust His direction with each step that we take. And as we learn to trust him in each step, we can trust him when he calls us to take a big step. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, the encouragement for each of us this morning is that God wants to be a part of all of our lives, you know, not just the big parts. You know, he's interested in relationship with us first and foremost, and then he's interested in seeing us walk in his purposes for us. You know, knowing God, hearing God, and walking in his purpose. But all this begins with a foundation of knowing God, searching the heart of the Father, growing in relationship with him. You know, God desires closeness with each of us so that we can live full and empowered lives. You know, when we understand his heart, he's hear his voice, we can step into his perfect plan and direction. You know, let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, in a moment, the team are going to lead us in worship. But I want to leave you with this final verse as an encouragement of God's extravagant love toward us and the power that flows through. So Ephesians chapter 3, 19 to 20. "Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." Come on, let's sing.
We come around the Word of God every week because we truly believe that God wants to speak to us through His Word. If you haven't figured it out by now, we are not about religious platitudes. We are about hearing the voice of God, the true voice of God. You know, I want to encourage each and every single person in this room, and if you're watching online this morning, if you don't know Jesus yet, that scripture out of Proverbs this morning. People can plan what they want to do, but it's the Lord who guides their steps. I want to encourage you today that if you don't know Jesus yet, you may be going about life planning it exactly how you want it to be, but yet you still find yourself in this place where you're like, I still haven't found joy. I still haven't found hope. I still haven't found peace. I tell you today, for all your planning, it's the Lord who wants to guide you into salvation, hope, peace, truth, comfort, restoration. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for you so that you could actually have all those things and more. Amen. And so whether you're in this room this morning, watching online, listening at a later time, I just want to encourage you. God loves you so much. It says in Romans 10 verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Jesus alone is the way to salvation. If that's you this morning, in the room, online, I just want to give you a moment to respond to Jesus. God wants to break through in your world. He wants you to know the love of God through Jesus. If that's you this morning, say, yeah, I want to know Jesus. I want to have a personal relationship with him. Just with everyone's eyes closed this morning, if you're watching online, I want you to respond to this as well. If you want to know Jesus personally, if you want to have your steps guided by him, I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand up. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. Is there anyone this morning saying, yeah, I need to know Jesus. I need, awesome, thank you. Once you put it up, you can put it down. Is there anyone else today that needs to respond to a relationship with Jesus? If you're responding online, I just want to encourage you, God sees that response this morning. Is anyone else in the room this morning that needs to respond to the hope and salvation of Jesus? Respond to the heart of God towards you. Is there anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. I want a personal relationship with God. You may have been in church your whole life, but you've never responded to a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. You've gone through the practices, but you don't know Him personally. Is anyone, this is the right time for you today to respond to the hope of Jesus. Just with the eyes closed still this morning, if you've responded to Him, maybe you didn't put your hand up, but in your heart you've responded. I just want to give you the opportunity this morning. Everybody in this room this morning, we're going to join together and we're going to pray a prayer of salvation, inviting Jesus in. If you're watching online, I want to encourage you, do that exactly where you are this morning. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You went to the cross, went to the grave, buried and rose again for the salvation of every one of us. I choose to follow You. I surrender my life. I repent of my sin and I receive Your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that You are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Can we put our hands together this morning and celebrate those people who responded to Jesus? Awesome. So good.